you, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, you're listening to Islam. Tomorrow we're broadcasting live all the way from right here in good old Alexandria. Alexandria. Yeah, but we're not in Mesir, we're not in Egypt. We're right here in Virginia. Good old Virginia, my hometown now. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain with the Najwa Talalamina Shabab al-Islamia. That means Whammy International. And we're here. And if you're online, you're in time because we're talking about a great subject today. We've got a contest coming up, and we want to really encourage all of our youth to participate in the contest. This is something that's being presented by ICNA, the Islamic Circle of North America. And it's the 10th annual Young Muslims Quiz Competition on Islamic Knowledge. Try to write all of that on a business card. Anyway, it's coming up next Sunday, September the 22nd. That's like 3 weeks off, so we want to get everybody encouraged, excited, and participating, because this is going to be not only right here in the mosque here, but also it's going to be over in Belhidra, it's going to be up in Baltimore, it's going to be around everywhere, inshallah. So if you don't have information about it, you need to really get on the ball and find out about it. You can contact us, you can contact Kalalko Books over in Falls Church. You can contact the Islamic Bookstore up in Baltimore. Souq al-Huda in Edgewood, in College Park, Maryland, on Edgewood Road. And, of course, the Belhidra Bookstore. You can give any of them a contact, call them up, and find out what's going on. They'll give you the details. Or you can write to us online at Ask Islam, A-S-K-I-S-L-A-M, at AOL.com. And we'll try to give you answers to whatever you've got. So just ask us about this competition. It's a great chance for, and guess what? This is going to be for the youth. We're talking about kindergarten, first grade, second, third, and fourth, all the way up to college level. So there's something for every grade out there. There's going to be, for the little guys, just basic memorization. But then all the way up to written exams, memorization of Circle Baruj and Juz Amma. You're gonna be surprised what it's gonna come up with. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and there's gonna be prizes gonna be offered, right? Yeah, it's like what is it? $1 million first prize, or a trip to Mecca and back? Well, at least Allah give you Jannah. I mean, that's a great prize. I mean, and anyway, so we're talking about the subject of the Quran. We've already been on our program over here for a little while. We were talking about the subject of the Quran and how Allah mentions in the Quran itself that this is the book wherein there is no doubt. Zalikul Kitabu La Rayba Fih. This is the book which has no doubt in it. It's a source of hidayah or guidance for those that fear Allah, and they establish this taqwa, and they believe in the unseen, they establish their prayers, they pay the zakat, and they believe in what's being sent to Muhammad, which means the Quran, and they believe what was sent before, which was also from Allah. And they also believe in the hereafter. And these are the people that are on the true guidance of Allah, and in fact, these are the people who are successful. This is a very probably poor translation, but close to the meaning of the Quran, inshallah. Now, I mentioned also a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's where I interrupted this to get on the air when we get the hookup. So let me back up and give you the hadith again. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama, that the best of you are those who learn Quran and you teach it. And in this case, it doesn't just mean recite. Because reciting is a very important part of Quran, and that's, by the way, one of the miracles of the Quran is that it can be recited by people who are non-Arab. Many, 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 many people have memorized the Quran and recited it who are non-Arab. In fact, today only about 12% of all of the Muslims on the earth are Arab. The other 88%, this is not their native language. They may be from Indonesia or India or Pakistan, and they may be from places like Texas. Well, I don't know. What do you think? Can somebody be from Texas and recite Quran? Not very good. Anyway, but that's where I'm from, so don't make fun of me. Anyhow, but the interesting thing here is that when the hadith is coming, he's mentioning about learning. The word ilm is in the hadith, to learn and to teach it. So learning here can mean to learn to recite it, definitely, but also what does it mean? What does Allah mean when He gives revelation? Now some people will tell you, by the way, you know what? I can just listen to the Quran and I know what it means. Suppose somebody's not a Muslim and he hears the Quran and he hears somebody say, Zaliku kitabu la rayba fi. And literally it means, Zalika, this is the kitab, book, la, no, rayba fi. Doubt in. That's literal. Exactly. So they would say, well, yeah, I understand that. Yet, that is not how you understand Quran. So the first lesson is what? Don't make the tafsir or explanation of Quran from your mind, but rather from the Quran itself or from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a law. This is in Islam. It's not optional. Even one imam, great imam Malik, if I'm not making a mistake, is the one who said that whoever will give the translation or the meaning of the Quran, interpretation of Quran, without referring to this, this is kufr, disbelief. That's how serious it is. So I'd like to mention an example that really hit me hard. And when I share this, especially with the youth, they go, whoa. And they realize how important it is not to try to make up something about the meaning of the Quran. Somebody said, what does that mean? Oh, it means this, it means that. Wait a minute, hold on. Because it happened during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, that he was the Khalifa. And he had like a halakha, like we have here, maybe. And they had one young one there, and they were like complaining, like, you know, we're the older guys, what do you got this kid here? Something like this. He said, okay, I tell you what. I'm going to recite something, tell me what it means. And he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. What does it mean? So he was asking them what? Basically he's asking them, give me the meaning of this surah, the Nusra of Allah. What does it mean? Tell me. So when I'm there, he said, well, yeah, it means when you see the support or the help of Allah coming and the opening or the victory, and you see the people entering into the deen of Allah, afwaja, in big numbers, many people becoming Muslim, then hymn the praises of Allah, you know, recite, you know, like the Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, like this, and turn to Allah in tawbah, in repentance. So he asked somebody else, and they say the same thing, and another, he went around, they all got the same opinion, like he said. Then he asked the boy, tell him what it means. The boy said, because the point here is not what does the Arabic mean, what did Allah mean when He revealed it? What did Allah mean? And the boy said, this was to signify the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I've asked a lot of Arabs, do we have any Arabs with us today? How many? Only one? Okay, mashallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. But in this surah, which I just tried to read, was that pretty close to the Arabic? I'm not sure you can figure out what I said. In that, there was the word death in there, the word maut or anything like that was in there? No. The word Muhammad, I didn't hear that. Was that in there? No. Okay. So how does this youth, this young man, come up with this idea that Allah means that this is to signify? Oh, is the word signify in there? I don't think so, no. Okay. How is it that this surah doesn't have any of the words that he said? Because guess what? Omar said, I don't know anything other than what this voice said. Ouch. Oh. Now, who is the boy? Would you like to know who is this boy? He is Ibn Abbas. One of the top scholars of all Islam, especially telling you what's the Quran. Ibn Abbas. How does he know this? Obviously, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. Subhanallah. So be careful. Don't think, oh, I know some Arabic, I'm going to tell people what the Quran means. Because Shaitan is waiting for you. He is waiting for you. Because especially those who are Arabs, who think they know, and they start saying, oh, this means this, this means... But the smart ones, the really smart ones, you say, what does this mean? He says, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows. Let that stop. I want to be sure. Most of... I will say, I hope every time that I mention anything from Quran, what I'm talking about is what I read from the scholars that it says in the books about it. Very seldom do I try to give any meaning to something from the Arabic for that reason. Well, that and the fact I'm not that good with Arabic anyway. But you can, now I don't want to discourage you from reading Quran in Arabic side by side with Urdu or English. I'd like you to do that. And the reason I said that is so you understand the words, because the words will never be against the meaning itself too. But at the same time, don't say that's what Allah means. You can say this is what the Arabic words are. But I'm trying to tell you not to give tafsir of the Quran, but you can say these words mean this or that, and so on and so. The reason is because we don't want to say Allah means or intends this. We just want to say what is the Arabic word. Like I just gave you the explanation of the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. And you notice I didn't say anything about the three letters Alif Lam Mim. Why? Because that's how it starts. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dalikul Kitabul Arabi. Why didn't I mention about Alif Lam Mim? Because nobody knows what the meaning is. We know there's three letters from the Arabic language. But if you begin to try to say what it means, you could be very misguided by Allah. This is the test. I had one Egyptian came to me one time about 8 or so years ago, and he said that he ran the letters, these letters that are in the front of many of the verses of the Quran, and tried to run them through a computer and make, he said it will not make a word, it will not make a sentence, it won't make anything, and he tried every combination. He said when he removed the duplication, in other words, only one Ali from one lamb and one meme and one ra and sad and all da and ha and the, so, and he said that it would make one sentence and that's all it would make. The sentence translated to English meant, this is the truth and it contains a dangerous secret. That's the only thing he could make out of it. I showed it to our imam, who is a real tough one on being exactly authentic on everything. He said, leave this and don't play with it. You know what happened? I lost the letters for the thing and he had it written for me. He don't want to talk about it anymore. Because if it has a dangerous secret, who am I to play with it? And it happened that somebody tried to give meanings to things in the Quran about 30 years ago. And he started coming out with ideas, and he came up with the idea that there's the magic number of 19 in the Quran. And he said every 19 surahs, there's something. Every 19 ayat, there's something. Every 19 juzah, there's something. Every 19 letters, something. And he was saying that he was so sure that he wrote a whole book on the subject, but when he was done, it turned out that it didn't work because some of the ayahs just didn't fit in there and it messed up his whole thing. So what did he do? He took out the ayahs that didn't fit within his theory. And he said they must not be right, otherwise they would have fit. He went insane. He began to tell people he was better to understand Quran than the Sahabi. Then he said he was better to understand Quran than Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said that he was a prophet. this man spread a lot of vision before he died. His name was Rashid Khalifa. Now there's a group following him out in Arizona. They have their own website, and they swear that all hadith are fabricated. You know why? Because all the hadith are against what he said. In fact, one hadith is even talking about people that will come in the last day, and they will not take any hadith. So the hadith is talking about them, and they deny it. But it's interesting that the ayahs that he's talking about, and over it are 19, that's what the ayahs he's talking about. The next verse in there explains that these are 19 angels over the hellfire, and I wish you would see it. Sister Layla, if you'll pull that up, if you're online right now, pull it up and let the folks see. That's in Daria? No, that's in 56. Is it? Sure, 56, I think it is. Mudathir. In Surah Al-Mudathir, Ayah 77. Yes, Sister Layla, if you can hear me, you want to pull that up? Is she online? Oh, I'm not moving the mic. I don't know. Is you having some problem there? We got a fan going. Is that bothering you? Can you hear us okay? Okay, it sounds like it's moving. That's my head moving. Hold on. I'll put the mic over here in front of me. Sorry about that. It's probably the fan and stuff. We cut it back. All right. Let me go up to... I can't remember where I've got it right now. So anyhow, we're talking about the ayah in the Quran about over there 19... the angels, and it's talking about the angels that are guarding the hell. And you should read it, because if you read the verses with it, you realize it could be talking about this very man. It could be talking about... Well, you have the Quran memorized. What is this ayah? You can cheat, you can use the book. Somebody hand me one of those right there with the English, I'll give it there. I want you to hear this, because I want you to see how the Quran is... This one right there. Okay. Shakalaka. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, Christians use numbers in the Bible. That's why we have numbers in there for the Christians who convert to Islam, so that they can use this. It makes it really easy, because we do everything by the numbers, I think. Is that... Al-Mudathir, right? Yeah, I gotta find where it's Al-Mudathir. Those of you that are online waiting for me, be patient with me, old man. I really want you to hear this. It's worth it. It's 74. He thought that somehow he'd discovered some kind of a miracle, and he was going to be the next prophet, because he had discovered this so-called miracle of the mathematics of 19 in the Quran. There you go. There you go. You came up with it faster than I did. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Very good. Scroll on down to... I think we're right here at it. Is it 36? No, 31. Go to ayah 31. Scroll down to ayah 31 on your screen there. We'll go up a little bit more. I see something else on here. Yeah, go back to it's talking about somebody. I want to go way back in. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to ayah number 11, and I'll read it for you real quick. Ayah number 11. And Allah is saying, leave me alone to deal with whom I created. Allah is asking us, leave him alone to deal with these people. Let him take care of them. And this is very good, by the way. Muslims are not supposed to take the law into their own hands. And this is a good example right here when Allah is saying, leave me to deal with the one that I created. And then granted him resources in abundance and children to be by his side and made life smooth and comfortable for him. All that he desires I should give him and more. Nay, verily he has been opposing our verses. I shall oblige him to a mountain in the hellfire called As-Sa'ud. I hope that's not Sa'ud. Or faces of your torment. Sorry about that. Verily he thought and plotted, so let him be cursed how he plotted. And once more, let him be cursed how he plotted. Then he thought. Then he frowned and he looked in a bad-tempered way. Then he turned back and he was proud. Then he said, this is nothing but magic from old. He's talking about the Quran. This is nothing but the word of a human being. Allah said, I'm going to cast him into hellfire. Verse 27. And what will make you know exactly what the hellfire is? It spares not any sinner, nor does it leave anything unburnt. Burning and blackening the skins over it are 19. This is what I want you to get the message from this today. Over it are 19. That's like number 31. Scroll down and you can see it. It's number 30. And over it are 19. And then here it says in the tafsir, angels as guardians and keepers over the hell. The next verse, 31. And Allah has set none but angels as guardians of the fire. And Allah has fixed their number at 19 only as a test for disbelievers. And exactly that's what happened. When I saw this ayah and read it for the first time after I'd heard about this man, I said, my God, look how the Quran predicted an event that would happen in my lifetime, and it's right here, that Allah set the number of 19 as a test for disbelievers, as a trial for disbelievers, in order that the people of the scripture can arrive at a certainty that this Quran is the truth, as it agrees with their books regarding this number 19 written in Torah and Gospel, so on, so on, so. And there's no doubt may be left for the people of the scripture and the believers and those in whose heart is a disease. And the disbelievers say, what does Allah intend by this curious example? Disbelievers ask, what does Allah mean by putting this number 19 in the Quran? And who did that? The ones who disbelieve in Hadith. Exactly. And they tried to give a meaning to it, and it didn't work, so they took the last two ayahs of Surah Tawbah and threw them away. And if anybody denies one letter of Quran, how can we call him a Muslim? And they took not one letter, or two letters, or one word, or two words, or one ayah, two complete ayat, the last two of Surah Tawbah, and chucked them. Because it didn't fit with the numbering system. But by the way, when you look closely, Dr. Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, wrote an article about this book that Mr. Khalifa wrote. And you should notice this because in the book, Bilal Phillips is an expert in Arabic language. He's written curriculum for the Arabs for their own language. Okay? And he tells you in there that sometimes he will count the standing alif and sometimes he won't. When it won't help his case, he won't count it. This accounts also, like when you use the word Ayn, you know, the letter Ayn, and then Lam, and then Yah, Ala, right? But if he needs to leave this Yah out, he doesn't count it because it messes up his counting. So when he needs, he'll count a Feta, a Taka. He will count that if he needs it. So he really played a lot and very loose with the Quran, and then threw out two ayahs. So this is not real. And Allah said right here that he made the number 19 as a trial for disbelievers. And what else? So the people of the book can arrive at a certainty. I can explain this to the people of the book very easily because they have done the same thing. They have done with their book in the Torah. They say they have found that the letters equal numbers, and the numbers, and they line them out, and it was in a magazine article. Have you seen it? Oh yeah, they put it on TV too, right? And they claim that this is a big miracle, blah 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 blah. But we can do the same thing and show them, well, these people did it with the Quran, and it's the same kind of nonsense that you have. And I have shown them and said, look, this is not right here, and this isn't correct over here. I'm saying that it's wrong for whoever did our Quran, and I'm saying, what do you have for yours that's any better? And they say, you know, you're right. Exactly what Allah said here, it will show them, and it does. It's amazing. And that's in our life. So this is not a book that was 1400 years ago and doesn't apply today. This thing is alive. Alhamdulillah. It continues that Allah uses this method, or thus Allah leads astray whom He wills, and He guides whom He wills. And none can know the hosts of your Lord but He, meaning the angels. Hosts here refers to angels. And the hell is nothing else than a warning or a reminder to mankind. Subhanallah. So next time you think about that business of the 19, if you hear anybody talking about that, and they do, online you'll hear about it, tell them to go and read chapter 74 of Mudathir, and tell them to look up the verses from about number 10 all the way up to 31, and read it for themselves. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I don't want to get into that too far, but I did want to mention that it's not right for us to try to give meanings when the meanings are already clear. If you know anything about Sahih Bukhari, there's a section in there about the Quran. It's in in English it's not broken up the same way it is in Arabic, because it's, you know, it's twice as big because it has Arabic and English. But and volume 6 that I have is dealing with the subject of about the middle of the Quran. Right in there it's talking about the ayahs we're dealing in Surah An-Nur. So, if you read Sahih Bukhari, this is a very good way for you to learn about the Quran from these hadiths, because it's telling you what Rasulullah said about it or did about them. And remember that the Quran came at a time of 23-year period of time when the people there were going through different stages. So the different parts that were revealed applied exactly to their condition. It was like a big revelation and an answer to their problems. They were so excited when Quran came because it always was solving a problem that they were experiencing. An example, for instance, is when they were out in the desert and they were going to run out of time. They didn't have time to get to where the water was because they were looking for something. But by the time they found it, it was too late to get water to make wudu to pray, and they were worried how we're going to wash for prayer. And then the revelation came about how you can make tayammum. This is mentioned also in the same part of Bukhari. It was Aisha radiallahu anha. So I'm mentioning that, and you can see that there are many other examples that when Muslims were ordered to pray, when they were ordered not to drink, when they were ordered to fast, and it says in Surah Baqarah that the fasting is ordered for you like it was ordered to the people before. And so when did this come? When it came time for them to begin to fast. So read the Quran with understanding that you know this is real. It applied to those people 1400 years ago, but guess what? It applies to you today. Because this is not a book by a human being. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's our subject. That's what we're talking about. And for those of you who just tuned in, letting you know that you're listening to our live program, we're here. This is Yusuf Estes We're up here in Virginia. We're in Alexandria at the new Ikna Masjid here, which is temporarily an old house been fixed up, but soon to be the largest masjid in North America. Inshallah. That's my dua. Just give us a few years and a few million dollars and we're ready to build a big masjid here. So inshallah we are going to look forward to coming here more often and doing more of these programs. Also, Sister Layla, I'll let you know I'll be out in California this weekend coming up. I'll be out in on the 4th, I think it's the first day there, and the 5th, and it should be on the website. And we have a number of programs that are lined up out there with the universities, and also the Juma out there will be probably, I don't know if you're going to broadcast the Juma at that time, we'll probably be around 3 or 4 o'clock your time, and that will be at that big Ibn Taymiyyah Masjid out there, the one that I went out there when they first opened it up in 98, so it's exciting for me, and I hope inshallah we'll all get a chance to be together for that. So I'm going to wrap it up with that. We've been talking about the Quran and the value of the Quran for the youth, and we were encouraging all of our youth to participate in a program coming up with ICNA. So I want all of you to do something, and that is I want you to pray, and I want you to ask Allah to make this Quran a part of the life of every single Muslim, and to use this Quran to guide all of us. And also I want to make it so that ask Allah to make it so that the Quran will be a light for us in our grave, and that the Quran will be a witness for us on the day of judgment. Now, this is a good dua that we should always make. And well, now before I sign off, I'm going to ask real quick, anybody online have a question, you can type it up here. And if anybody here in the room have any question, you can bring it now. We've got 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, that's it. Let's go. I'm going to finish it off with that. And until next time, this is your host, Yusuf Estes, reminding you that Allah is Salam. And so we give you Salam Alaikum, Rahmatullahi, and Barakatuh.